Hey, everyone. It's Naomi Wolf with Daily Clout, and I'm so thrilled and honored to be interviewing the legendary Greg Palast, author of How Trump Stole 2020, and as I've been tweeting, a winner of the Cassandra Award for 2020. Welcome back, Greg. It's so exciting to meet you.
Well, remember, How Trump Stole 2020 was a warning, not a prediction. And listen, it came really damn close. Don't forget, we have just about 71 million Americans who voted for Agent Orange. Well, I'm not, you know, but the truth is, if that would have been enough to reelect him, fine. I'm happy with democracy. But here's what I'm not happy with is letting racist voter trickery. We use the polite term vote suppression. Mm-hmm. To describe what is still happening, what happened on a mass basis in this election. And it's absolutely not being discussed. I take that back. I'll be very blunt. It's not being discussed in the white media. It's certainly being discussed by the victims in the black community and in black media.
Sorry, Greg, go ahead.
Okay. So one thing that I'm very concerned about now is Georgia. That's what's on my mind. Now, understand, I've been investigating in Georgia for 7 years because ever since in 2014, Martin Luther King III, I was at his home and he said, you know, Greg, Georgia's a blue state if they'd let us vote. Hmm. And that's what we're finding out now. Now, you may say, whoa, everyone seems to be knocked over that Biden won Georgia. I'm not knocked over. What shocked me is that we had to wait till we're still waiting for the official call.
Right.
And it will go to a so-called recount, whatever the hell that is. I'm very concerned about that, by the way. But though, of course, it won't be enough to save the Donald from the public's wrath. But I'm very, very concerned. We are now heading into a double runoff for Senate seats. And this is number one. So my work is only beginning. Mm-hmm. The 7 years of work in Georgia is now hitting its climactic phase. The real election is going on January 5, when both seats, Senate seats, will be up for grabs in Georgia. One, the Reverend Raphael Warnock is running. He's the pastor who took Martin Luther King's place at the Ebenezer Baptist Church. And which would be a hell of a change in leadership. Right now, you have the grifter Kelly Loeffler, and as senator. And I don't, you know, look, I just because she's a Republican, I don't. That's not why I'm calling her a grifter. You have to understand, she got an early confidential briefing on the coronavirus in the Senate, and as a senator in the Intelligence Committee, and she took the intelligence. She was briefed that the coronavirus is going to crash the stock market, crash the economy. So rather than run out and say, wow, we better protect ourselves, she ran out and called her stockbroker and dumped all her stock. And so she cashed in on the inside information of being a senator. And you have to understand, this woman is already filthy rich. And by the way, when I say filthy rich, I mean that very specifically. No, she's not a porn star, because hey, I don't call that filthy. It's a form of love. It's much filthier than that. She is on the board of Georgia Power. Georgia Power is part of Southern Company. Southern Company is the number one polluting corporation in the United States. They're the last giant power company, still burning coal all through the South. And they got to keep it that way. So she was on the board of Georgia Power, and that's why she was put on, was given this, she was actually appointed to the Senate by a scamp named Brian Kemp, the pretender to the Georgia governorship throne. We can go through that. So I'd want to tell you about Kelly. Now, those of you who've read my book, and I know you have, How Trump Stole 2020, it has a lot of other information, like how Brian Kemp, who is the governor of Georgia, stole that race, but very important. How did he get there? And while I talk about vote suppression, you know, we use that term. Again, I hate vote suppression, because when someone steals your car, Naomi, you don't yell, my car's been suppressed. My car's been suppressed. No. Yeah. So, but the thing is, you need money. Stealing elections ain't cheap business. And behind Brian Kemp were two organizations, two GP organizations, not Greg Palast, but Georgia Power, mm-hmm. which was the big money. Why? Because Stacey Abrams, who is running for governor against Brian Kemp and won, if you would have let everyone vote and counted all the votes, Stacey Abrams wanted to shut down the last nuclear plant project in America, a monster called Plant Vogtle.
Oh, wow.
And it is going, it's going to cost, if it does get complete, it's going to cost about $20
billion. $20 billion.
Basically, and it's a white elephant, but it won't ever be completed. They're just throwing billions into a hole. The builders of the plant have, except for Georgia Power, walked from it, mm-hmm. saying it's just a bankruptcy. And it's a hole in the ground filled with bankruptcy.
Oh my God.
But what they want to do, what the promise of Brian Kemp was, is he would bail them out with public money. This would literally cost every family in Georgia a couple thousand dollars.
Oh, my God.
And Stacey Abrams wouldn't take the hit for the nuclear industry and for Georgia Power. She said, I won't do it. And that's one. And so Kemp had to pay off Georgia Power for its help. So they put on Kelly Loeffler. She's very rich, raised a lot of money mm-hmm. for the Kemp. Mm-hmm. And that's how she got in. Even, you know, the White House, by the way, just so you know, actually objected to they said she can't get reelected. Mm. You know, she's a fool and she's not electable. But Brian Kemp owed Georgia Power.
Gotcha. So,
and so that's behind it. Follow the money, because people say, where did this Loeffler, where did this crazy lady come from? Yeah. And so they've now, so now she'll be facing the Reverend Warnock of the Ebenezer Baptist. And it's a special election. That's why you have the unusual situation of two elections, and both in runoff. Now, the other race is John Ossoff. Interestingly, he and I kind of had the same job, both producers, news producers for BBC and Al Jazeera. It's an unusual guy to be running for Senate in Georgia, but here he is. And he won. He won walking away. But they stole enough votes that they're forcing him to a runoff. And what do I mean that they're stealing votes? I know I'm just talking, blathering, but
for just a moment before you get to that.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. Many people watching this may not have seen your last interview in which you explained, and of course in your book and your articles, you explain what, tell us first what happened in Georgia that you predicted, the theft of hundreds of thousands of votes. Just summarize that briefly before you go on.
Oh, sure. Okay. So back in 2018, when Stacey Abrams was running for governor, I'd already been investigating in Georgia for 5 years for Al Jazeera and for the for Rolling Stone magazine.
Right.
And what we uncovered was this guy, Brian Kemp, who was Secretary of State, was that he was simply erasing hundreds of thousands. I don't mean hundreds or thousands. I mean hundreds of thousands of voters from the voter rolls. He knocked off 500,000 voters off the voter rolls. And so what happened was I went in to investigate. First thing I did was I said, give me the list of these voters that you're removing. Because if they're illegal voters, I mean, you have Trump screaming about illegal voters. Brian Kemp is like the master detective. He found 500,000 illegal voters. Really? So I said, give me the list of these ne'er-do-wells.
Right.
He refused.
No kidding.
I got it out the back door because you see the hat. I'm a real investigative reporter. Right. I'm a real detective, actually. Oh. And I got the list from inside his office. And it was names like Jose Garcia and James Brown. And look at the list. And it's like just names, common names of people of color. But now why were they being removed? They were using two different reasons. But one of them, and it's important now, is that they said people left the state, so they shouldn't be allowed to vote. Or they left Atlanta. You can't vote. Look, Naomi, you can't vote in Atlanta if you don't live in Atlanta. But were all these hundreds of thousands of people ready to vote illegally from, you know, from California? They're going to vote in Atlanta. So what I did was, we checked the list. That is, we literally hired the post office, which you can do. They have a license contractor. We hired that licensed contractor. We hired the experts who know where you live from eBay and Amazon and Google. They know exactly what you're doing last Tuesday at 2 p.m. And I won't look. Don't worry. And I won't tell. But we know. And what we found is that, are you ready? 340,134 people on that list had never moved from their registration
address. Oh, my God.
It was huge. 250,000 voters. See, one of the problems of vote theft done today, because it's done with computers. And, you know, people worry about computers taking away your vote when you're in the voting booth. They're going to flip you from, you know, Biden to Trump or something. No, no. The big steal is that they wipe out voter rolls with the flick of a switch, hundreds of thousands of voters.
We spoke about this. It's really important for people to understand that all you have to do is say, find Garcia and, you know, or.
Exactly. And so what they did was.
You can do it.
So I went down to Atlanta and we found, and we put up the list. We met with the voter. We found these voters. We got thousands of calls of people and letters and notes, people saying, I haven't gone anywhere. I don't know what they're talking about. And it, by the way, if you move down the street, you don't lose your vote in America either. That's federal law, supposedly.
Right.
And so among the people, so I went to a voting station in Atlanta. And with one voter after another, a guy named Raheem Shabazz, who is a great radio announcer there, they wouldn't let him vote. He got a provisional ballot, which got thrown in the garbage.
Oh, my God.
And the other is... and then a few other people, all voters of color. And then there was Christine Jordan.
Right.
And I went out. Her granddaughter was hysterical, crying. How could they do this to her? She was thrown on a polling station. She was going to vote there for the 50th year. Oh my God. And they said, oh, well, you're not on the voter rolls, scram lady. So I went back to the house that they said she had moved out of. Out of Atlanta. And there on the wall was Martin Luther King's picture having dinner with her at that house. So obviously she'd been there at least 50 years.
Right.
And I said, you knew Dr. King? She said, that's my cousin.
Wow. And
this is Martin Luther King's cousin thrown out of the polling station after 50 years. And by the way, I do recommend that people watch. I have two versions of it, a 1 minute version where I'm talking with her.
Yeah.
It's on Leo DiCaprio's Instagram site. It's a 1 minute film, and thank you to the 7 million people who watched it so far.
Fantastic.
There's also another film on go to Leonardo DiCaprio's Instagram story page, or go to Greg Palast. I don't tell anyone. I have no idea to get it on Instagram. I'm a tech tard. You'll see this 14 minute film, which gives you the fuller story. Why are we bringing this all up?
Because I want to ask,
is still alive, alive and well.
So let me ask how those, I saw on Twitter, you were saying we would have won Georgia, or Biden would have won Georgia like days ago, if those votes had not been purged. So you're saying that because of that purge of over 300,000 people of color for no good reason, basically, Georgia was still in play. Georgia's going to a runoff. And that had that not taken place, Biden would have won Georgia days ago.
In a walk. It would have been not only, and the most important thing is obviously Biden didn't need Georgia. It's thrilling to see Georgia go back to Democratic column, not because I'm a Democrat or I'm for or against Biden. Like I said, if Trump got elected by the voters, hey, that's democracy.
Right.
It's a question of, I was happy to see at least a glimmer of democracy retake Georgia.
Right.
And you have to understand that the Georgia method spread across this nation. And that's how Donald Trump was elected president in 16. The reason I wrote a book called How Trump Stole 2020 is that it's mostly explain how Trump stole 2016. So how you can, you know, how we can steal it back.
Right.
But here's the thing. Earlier this year, the ACLU put out a report of mine. We got so many of these voters back on the rolls. And then Kemp goes through and he removes 198,351 voters.
Oh my God.
Illegally. Now, how do I know these exact numbers? Because we're not doing a scientific sample of his purge list. We actually went through name by name by name. We used 1,700 data points to prove where people live, and we called 700 of them. We sent out postcards. Now, and bless them, Black Voters Matter Fund, headed by LaTosha Brown, Cliff Albright. I hope at some point you'll get to talk with them too. They sent out 98,000 postcards, like big, colorful postcards, right, to these people who were wrongly removed, and say, you got to register now. The Southern Poverty Law Center took our lists and made thousands of calls. You have to understand that behind the victory in Georgia was a massive effort. I mean, obviously, the Palace Investigative Fund, we're not in the voter registration business, and we're not on the ground activists. What I am is a journalistic operation that uncovers the facts.
Right.
But, you know, if someone wants to use the facts to return voters who are screwed out of their vote to the voter rolls.
Absolutely.
Right. And by the way, while Black Voters Matter took a hand at it, the ACLU put it out and pounded the table and said, we're going to take action. I did hear, you know, we went to the Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. Now, Brian Kemp, after he swiped the governorship, was replaced by a guy named Raffensperger. His name really is Perger. And when the ACLU put out the report earlier this year that this scammer had removed 198,000 voters illegally,
right,
we have a long technical report. I'm happy if you just watch the movie.
Yeah.
We put out tech, and the first thing he said was, Greg Palast is a known Stacey Abrams shill.
Oh my God.
I've been called worse things.
Yeah.
And I have to, and I should disclose. In fact, I'm proud to disclose Stacey Abrams and her organization hired my technical team.
Okay.
To go through and help them with the review of the voter rolls. Uh-huh. And so you have to understand, we put out the information. And what was amazing in Georgia, we've never seen anything like it in any other state. All these activist groups did everything they could to make use of this information, say, we're going to put these people back on, we're going to get them voting, and we're going to protect their votes. And we ain't done. I was just, you know, one of the reasons I was a little rushed here is I was on the phone with our lawyers, who are ready to take action again. I took Brian Kemp and then his successor to court, and a federal judge ruled that he had to open his files to me.
Yeah,
you can't be, you can't be removed. We don't have secret ballots in the United States,
right?
Not secret elections. Secret elections are for dictatorships. Right. Secret ballots are for democracy, and there's a difference.
There's
okay,
a difference.
Okay, Donald, there's a difference now. So we are looking at further action. I sued him to get more documentation from inside his operation, the little sneaky stuff. This is the public's information.
Right.
Secretary.
And people usually don't understand that voter lists are public records, and they can see if you voted. I mean, anyone can see they can't see who you voted for. So those documents belong to the public. So thank you for all you're doing. Let's go to the title of your book. You said earlier when we were talking just now that Trump didn't steal 2020, but it was close. I was just sharing before you hopped on the interview that I'm my stomach is in knots for democracy. Again, not a partisan sense, because I don't think this is over. I don't think he's going anywhere. I keep thinking about you and our August interview, because you said it will take days. The count will take days. And I really think you did a service to your country. I really want to call this out in a positive way, because when people are right, no one ever goes back and says, oh, that person was right. But I really think your warnings, and I tried to do what I could to amplify them, helped prepare everyone to not be blindsided. I was a Gore advisor in 2000, and I remember how well the Bush team used disorientation and surprise and not really understand, you know, not being able to calm people down. And just the fact that you said in advance, this is going to take days, it's going to, you know, everyone be patient, I think that really did help. And the fact that you warned that there would be lawyers involved, you said that in August that both sides would have their lawyers involved. And now that's happening. So let me go to the projection. What do you think Trump is going to do? And why are you confident he's not going to concede? And what can he bring to a judge? Like, what evidence does he have that there's been misbehavior?
Well, he doesn't need evidence. And, you know, they tried in a few places that there's fraud. They just found one woman in Arizona who said someone stole her mail-in ballot and forged her signature and cast her ballot. So we have fraudulent ballots. This is the con game that Trump has been screaming about, the fraudulent mail-in ballots. Mm-hmm. Donnie Jr. went to Philadelphia and said, oh, we don't know where all these mail-in ballots are coming from. They could have come from Mars. Donnie, they don't sell stamps on Mars. It couldn't have come from Mars. They can't mail in the ballot from there. But okay, they got one woman who went to court and said they stole my ballot. So they actually got her ballot. She was shocked at the officials, because when you mail in a ballot, mail-in ballots, by the way, are not secret. You do understand. You sign them. And I don't care if there's envelopes inside. It's not secret. So they went and got her ballot. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, well, here's your ballot. And here it's signed. So who forged the signature? And we said, we want to remind you, you're under oath.
Right.
You go to prison if you give a false answer. Is that your signature, or are you saying that's not your signature?
Right.
She refused to say.
Wow. Or
she filed a false report. I hope that they do handcuff her. This is a very serious
business. Very serious.
And it is a crime.
It is
to
a crime.
File a false report. She's accusing, she filed a false report on a felony that could have actually reversed a presidential election. This is no joke. Now, but the thing is, she was just a stooge for their operation. So we don't have these fraudulent votes coming in that they can't prove. So judges are throwing out these claims about they heard hearsay about fraudulent voters. In Michigan, another judge just said, this is someone told someone who heard a rumor that, and the judge is saying this is called hearsay within hearsay within hearsay. This is the legal stuff. It doesn't matter. It's baloney. But here's the danger. And here was the danger, but I think it may be too overwhelming for them to overcome. There's nothing in the Constitution which says you have a right to vote for president. Ask Al Gore. You have no right to vote for anyone in the Constitution. And specifically as to president, I know people think, yeah, I know we don't vote for president. We vote for electors. No, you don't. No, you don't. Read Article 2 of the Constitution. It's not too pretty. It says state legislatures. You know, the guys with the triple knit suits who sell timeshares and stuff? Right. The legislators, those brilliant guys. Under Article 2 of the Constitution, each legislature picks the electors for the Electoral College. There is no restriction, absolutely dead zero. You know from Florida.
Yeah.
And so what I was worried about, deja vu all over again. Understand what happened in Florida. I want people to know this story.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi, because
in Florida this year or Florida
2020,
right?
And excuse me, 2000.
Yeah.
The reason why it's important is it created a very ugly precedent. In Florida, there was a riot inside that was called a Brooks Brothers riot inside the counting office in Miami-Dade. Now, what was left were mostly Democratic area ballots, The riot, people were scared. They shut down the count. The next day, Cruella DeVille, the Secretary of State of Florida, mm-hmm. Catherine Harris, who's also, she's running the vote as Secretary of State. This is another, like a Brian Kemp job, running the vote while she's chairwoman of the Bush for President campaign. She says, that's it. Voting, counting must stop. I'm going to certify George Bush as winner by 537 votes. Now, people know about the 537 votes.
Right.
What people don't know is that when she stopped the count, there were 178,000 ballots uncounted. 178,000 ballots centered in Jacksonville, Florida, an African-American city.
Right.
Bush stole that election, and they nailed it down. And here's the trick. The Florida legislature, most people don't remember this. You probably do. Florida legislature passed a law saying that you had to send the Bush electors' votes to the Electoral College. The Florida Supreme Court said, count the ballots. That's their state Supreme Court. Normally, that's the last word. But then the Supreme Court
seized PTSD flashbacks, yes.
And said, 5-4, Nah.
No.
Screw the, don't count all the ballots.
Yeah.
It's stopped. That's it. Go home.
Yeah.
Because the Florida legislature, not the Supreme Court, not the voters, the Supreme Court of Florida, not the voters. In other words, not even the law of Florida. Right. There's one law. Article 2 of the Constitution, which says it's up to the legislatures.
Right.
Here's what they're going to try to do now. Yes. I think you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah.
Here's the nightmare scenario. I do know that Trump has sent his teams into Pennsylvania. And what they're going to, they're making the case that Pennsylvania should not pick Trump electors. By the way, that's their absolute right under the Constitution, but I think that there'd be riots in the street. What they're going to say is, oh, there's so much fraud. Remember the whole canard that the observers had to be 100 feet away? No, they had to be 10 feet away. And they, right. Okay. Because of COVID, by the way.
Right.
There's a reason. Okay. They're going to say the whole process was a disaster, was flawed. We can't verify where the mail ballots come in, blah, blah, blah. It's so flawed. They're going to ask they're asking the legislators, the Republican legislature of Pennsylvania, don't certify the vote. Now, if they can get, that's their trick. So don't certify anyone. Don't certify Trump. Don't certify Biden. Now, what's behind that?
Oh, my God.
If they can get a couple more states. Now, remember, Wisconsin, Michigan.
Right.
Arizona, Georgia, all these states have Republican legislatures, and some of them are really rabid right.
My God.
And so if you can get a couple legislatures to say there's so much confusion, it's so close, it's so crazy, the process is so flawed that we are going to ignore, we're just not going to certify the vote.
Because waiting for what? Why?
Well, because they're saying that there's too much fraud under right. what circumstance. And remember, they get to decide. Right. So if they don't certify the vote, now follow this. This is what they're working on. So, you know, this is not Fantasy Island, unfortunately.
Right.
If they can get enough of their Republican legislatures to say, look, it's just impossible to figure out who really won. Certify no one. Yeah, Biden won't get 270 electoral votes. Now you say, well, but neither does Trump. So what? If neither candidate gets 270 votes, now we move to Article 12th Amendment to the Constitution, which I'm sure you just read before the show. The 12th Amendment to the Constitution, which says that if no one gets a majority of votes in the Electoral College, it goes to the House of Representatives. No, Nancy Pelosi doesn't pick it out of her sorting hat. Rather, it's one state, one vote. California gets one vote. South Dakota gets one vote. And at the moment, we don't know the final count yet, but the Republicans have at least 26 delegations. Do you realize that Trump still stands a chance of being reelected constitutionally? You see the air fingers, the air quotes, but it would be constitutional. Now, okay, before people go, okay, hang on. I was very worried about that until they would have to convince probably three state legislatures to pull this stunt. It's one thing. I've now read some of the histories back in Jeb Bush. Remember when George Bush was running, he had someone named Jeb Bush, who just by happenstance is the brother of the candidate. And he twisted every arm in the legislature, including he even told people, I think you'll lose your seat, but you have no choice. You're going to have to vote to right. send my brother's electors votes to Washington.
Right.
But they were all kind of saved when the Supreme Court just said, we're not going to bother with the procedure, just Bush is president. But here's the thing. They did establish an ugly, ugly precedent, but it is in the Constitution.
Right.
It is in the Constitution. Right. So that's the ugly thing. But
why do you think it won't happen? It sounds like exactly what Trump would do. And
actually trying.
The Constitution provides for it. You know, he'll turn over that rock. Why do you think it won't come to that?
He needs, as Jeb Bush found out, he had a lot of knock-kneed Republicans, because don't forget, Al Gore mm-hmm. won Florida in 2000, and not by a small amount. Okay,
no, they counted the votes, he was a clear winner.
Yeah, if you count the votes now,
long after, and he was the clear winner of the popular vote in Florida.
So here's, And so Jeb Bush was facing the same resistance. He overcame it and got his votes. But you're going to have Arizona legislators, state legislators who are Republicans who've been around a while, who are going to find that their districts went overwhelmingly for Biden. And they're going to have to go back to their constituents and say, I don't care who you voted for.
God.
I reelected Trump.
Yeah.
They're not going to. So you've got to be able to squeeze, say, three legislatures to pull this off won't be so easy.
Right.
And so I'm not because it is a heavy political lift.
Right. So that's
not so concerned about. But, you know, if we're not prepared for this, if we're not ready to resist this. And that was the big thing that was missing in the Bush-Gore fight was getting, I hate to say it, we weren't out on the streets. We weren't.
Yeah, but no disrespect, Gore was not a candidate who was able to flexibly fight and understand that he was no longer in like the gentleman's club that used to exist.
Are you saying he's not an alpha dog? Okay, I won't ask you. Sorry, that's not fair.
You don't have to address that anyway.
Okay. Yeah. But I will say, so that was one nightmare scenario. There are other constitutional ways around the vote.
Right.
And I'm not going to bother with them right now, go through them, because you don't need this. You don't need a constitutional coup d'etat lesson. Go to gregpalace.com and you can read some of this material, because I actually am quite confident that it's just too heavy a lift for them to just manipulate that many players. But I know if you're a Mitch McConnell fan, close your ears, but McConnell's going to steal that Senate. And that's what I'm concerned about right now. You're going to have a castrated presidency if Mitch McConnell is running the Senate. And again, I'm not against Republican control of the Senate. If the voters choose them, that's right. Not what's happening. And so now what do I mean by that? And now we're back to Georgia.
Okay.
And the two Senate seats up for grabs in Georgia, which will be decided January 5, will determine whether it's Democratic or Republican control of the Senate. And that's everything, my friends. And, you know, and what I'm concerned with is that once again, the GOP control of the voting systems of Georgia, the Jim Crow tactics, could determine the control of the United States Senate.
God.
And so
Georgia to do?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
But what are you going to Georgia to do?
So despite COVID, and before we went on air, you heard my wife fretting, you know, I'm kind of an at-risk guy. So, but I do have down my assistant, young, healthy assistant producer down there. I'm sending in my great photojournalist, Zach Roberts, and I'll have to join them at some point. But here's what we need to do.
Okay.
We need to expose the steal and stop a steal and let voters vote. So I told you the ACLU issued my report of 198,000 voters illegally removed from the voter rolls. Now, I've put them up on a website. Every person.
Wow. Love it.
Well, and thank the DiCaprios too. It's called SaveMyVote2020.org.
Love it.
And you can look up if you have been shafted out of your vote in Georgia. Now, I have to tell you, literally tens of thousands of people have, and that's why Georgia may flip. Again, this is not to elect Biden. This is just to let voters vote. Okay, I did not make a distinction. And when Black Voters Matter Fund sent out postcards, they said, the one thing I will not tolerate is sending notices only to Democrats.
Thank you.
We went out to Republicans, Democrats, independents, monster loony party members, whatever they wanted. I just want people to vote. But understand, the Republican Party cannot. Georgia is a blue state when people get to vote. So when I'm very concerned many things here.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is the continuing massive purge of voters. And there's still people out there who don't know that they've lost their vote. Here's the funny part. A lot of people have lost their vote, went to vote, lost their vote, and still don't know that they lost their vote. Now, what is he talking about? What does Palace mean by that? How could you stand in line, vote, and you don't know that you've lost your vote? The answer is, If you've been purged from the voter rolls, under federal law, you must be given, though sometimes they don't, you must be given what's called a provisional ballot. Here.
You warned us about this in August. Let's take a look.
Let's take a look at this. This is a provisional ballot.
Yeah.
Now, they're not easy to understand. Well, especially this one, because this one is literally in Urdu. It just happened to be the one I got. But it's in English on this side. So you fill out this thing. It's like taking the SAT. You got to fill out all these things. And you miss one thing. You miss the bubble. You don't do the bubble correctly, blah, blah, blah. You've disqualified your vote.
Oh my God.
But even more important, okay, Miss Christine Jordan, the 92-year-old cousin of Martin Luther King, who went after I spoke with her and her cousin in tears, and she was saying, I said, you do have the right. They went back in and got the provisional ballot. But I can tell you right now, that vote didn't count. Because here's the weird thing. After the 2000 election, and after I uncovered in that election, by the way, that about 58,000 African Americans were removed from the voter rolls by Cruella de Vil, by Catherine Harris.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're ex-cons, not allowed to vote. Right. Except that when I got a hold of the list, I was working at BBC at the time, BBC Television, The Guardian. I went through the list and I go, I'm checking. I'm calling people. I'm checking. It turns out, and I finally got to the attorney general. I said, how many people on this list are actual ex-cons?
Right.
You know what the attorney general told me? He said, I think six. I said, six?
Oh, my God.
And then we clarified later. He said, well, it turns out it was zero. Zero, none.
Oh, my God.
Their crime was voting while black. And they lost their right. And so George Bush became president by supposedly 537 votes, excluding 58,000 black people. And by the way, I wasn't guessing about their color because it said BLA next to their names for black. I didn't even know what it meant, by the way. I thought it was blah, blah, blah. I go, why is it blah, blah, blah? What's blah?
Why is race even entered into our voting records?
Well, believe it or not, this was required by the Voting Rights Act because it was thought a very good idea to put people's race on the registrations so that the federal government could track whether black people were being excluded from the voter rolls. So they required Georgia, Florida, and 13 other states, and New York City, by the way, to add race on the voter registration form.
That's such a tool for people who want to disenfranchise voters.
In 60, when the Voting Rights Act was passed in 65, we didn't have computerized voter rolls.
Right.
Florida was the first state to computerize their voter rolls. And then Catherine Harris and her predecessor actually realized, geez, with a flick of a button, we can come up with a reason to exclude tens of thousands of voters at a clip. And then Brian Kemp showed them how to make it hundreds of thousands of voters. And that game went all through America on this election. That's why we're waiting. Why we're waiting 4 days? I'm going to tell you the two reasons.
Okay.
Number one, are you ready for the number of people that have been purged in the last 2 years?
I have to face it.
According to the elections, our federal government Elections Assistance Commission, and verified by the Brennan Center, 16.7 million people were removed from the voter rolls in the last 2 years. 16.7. So people are going and getting these provisional ballots, which don't get counted. So after the Florida thing, by the way, so we created a law called the Help America Vote Act. This is George Bush's great gift to America. Oh, we'll fix our elections. And it required every state to computerize, and every state was given the right to purge their voter rolls.
Right.
So basically, Bush took voter protection games and turned it into vote slashing games.
Oh,
and then Brian Kemp of Georgia took it to a new level and was picked up by the GOP nationwide. So you have now, just to give you an idea, I don't know how many provisional ballots were taken in and then rejected. We don't even know. They're not going to even be looked at in some states until Tuesday.
Right.
In 2016, if you want to know what happened to Hillary Clinton, for example,
mm-hmm.
2.4 million people were shunted to this placebo bogus ballot.
Right.
Now, not all were thrown out, just short of a million. 925,000 ballots were thrown in the garbage. 925,000 ballots. Now, I got to tell you something, Naomi. there aren't 925,000 illegal, fraudulent, ne'er-do-well criminal voters in America.
No.
In fact, they did not. If these were illegal voters who came in and they filled out, even a provisional ballot filled out illegally, if you're not a legal voter, that's a crime.
Yes.
So why didn't they arrest a single, they didn't arrest one, but they removed nearly a million votes. Now, by the way, it's not just anyone who gets these provisional ballots. Overwhelmingly Black people, young people get provisional ballots. In fact, if you're Black, Hispanic, or Asian American, the chance you will have a get a provisional ballot and be chucked out is 300% more likely than if you're a white voter. And if you're a voter under 18 to 24 young voters, forget about it. 1,200% more likely to have a provisional ballot, which is chucked out than a white voter. So that was one of the big problems. That's one of the reasons why we're waiting all this time. All these voters who've shown up, gotten these bogus ballots, and they're going to be thrown out. So it takes time to count. They get thrown out. Otherwise, this would have been a walkaway in most of these states.
Wow. So let me ask this last question. Mm-hmm. Well, second to last. If what I understand you would be saying is true, there could have been a blue wave. We just can't see it because the people who would have voted for a blue wave didn't have their votes counted.
And I'm going to tell you something else. There's a second batch, mail-in ballots. I know the Democratic Party pushed for mail-in ballots. Thank God millions of people ignored that ridiculous advice. And I'm going to tell you why it's ridiculous. Okay. Ridiculous advice to mail in your vote. I've said for 12 years, don't go postal. The reason is that about 22% of mail-in ballots never get counted. Now, I'm not talking about the left coast thing, the automatic mail-in voting systems of California, Oregon, Washington, and Nevada, Hawaii, and Colorado. Those states, everyone votes by mail, basically, unless you decide you won't, or you just drop it off, but everyone gets a ballot in the mail. That's not a problem. Those states count votes. Mm-hmm. It's in America, like Georgia, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan. In those states, they either you don't get your vote, your ballot on time to mail in, so you lose your vote that way, or the post office stalls it. And you saw the fight in Pennsylvania. They're not talking about illegitimate votes. Trump is trying to say anything received after Election Day won't be counted. And by the way, I think that the
Supreme Court will, argument. Sorry?
I think the Supreme Court will side with him on that if that comes down to it.
Really?
But
it's not the voters' fault if the mail was delayed.
Especially if you sabotage the post office, I'd say, you shouldn't lose your vote because Agent Orange put in a saboteur into the post office and held up the mails. But they may not count your vote. But the other is, it's really, really easy to have your vote discarded, disqualified, that is spoiled, because it's not properly filled out as a mail-in ballot. We lost 100,000 votes in 16 to postage due, 141,000 votes lost to missing signature or wrong signature. Someone challenged your signature. Now, we don't have 141,000 people committing forgery in America. If you did, why don't you arrest one? This time, I'm telling you, when we're done with this, it's going to take maybe 2 years to get the actual results of this election. 2 years. We don't find them out right away. And what we find out in the details, when Hillary Clinton ran for president, 1.9 million in-precinct votes were disqualified. 2 million mail-in ballots were ultimately received too late, not received, or rejected because you made one little mistake on that mail-in ballot, and goodbye. This is why it appears to be close. It ain't close. If we count all the votes, and these are American citizens, no one's saying that anyone but an American citizen is filling out these ballots. There's a bunch of gotcha rules.
Right.
But, you know, I got to tell you, I work all over the world and watch elections and report on elections around the world. Mm-hmm. And my wife gets to vote in two countries, not America, Switzerland and England. Mm-hmm. And no one challenges someone's vote. No one ever fights. Don't count those ballots.
Right.
There's no such thing. You open them in public, you count the ballots. The idea in America, we found it okay to say, oh, you used a red pen, out of here. Out of here. Oh, you added a middle initial to your signature, forget it, in the garbage. And it's not small, it's millions.
I understand.
It's aimed at voters of color. Yeah. And so, one thing we're trying to do for Georgia. Mm-hmm. for this January 5th election is make sure that people understand if they can vote early and they can vote in person, do that. If you can, if you have to fill out a ballot, take, walk it in so that you don't leave it up to Donald Trump's post office to get your ballot in. And we're trying to tell people you have to be super careful when you fill out those ballots. But finally, a lot of people think, well, I voted because they voted on the provisional ballot in this, you know, this week.
Right.
And they'll go in January 5 thinking they can vote again. They'll either get that provisional ballot and think, oh, that's okay, I did that before. No, it's not. Or they'll be told this time, no, just get out of here. I'm very concerned about making sure that the that the 200,000 people wrongly removed from the voter rolls, we've got back tens of thousands of them on the rolls. I want every American who's entitled to vote to get back on the voter rolls. Please, if you know anyone on Georgia, in Georgia, tell them, check your registration either at the Secretary of State's office and re-register online this month, right, or go to gregpalace.com, watch a 1-minute film, and click on SaveMyVote2020.org, and we'll get you registered. We'll give you the information. You can see whether you've been purged, and we'll get you the records. But it's all about, remember, America's in the balance. This isn't about Georgia. It's right. about the control of the United States Senate. And that's why they're going to rob, steal, slash, burn any vote that doesn't go their way. And they are not above it. There is no, like you said, Al Gore, bless him, really thought that politics is a game for gentlemen and that there was a certain standard of ethics. Well, kiss that goodbye. And there is nothing about that under that comb over which suggests ethics.
Right.
And it, and the henchmen in Georgia and Mitch McConnell mm-hmm. and Brian Kemp, you know, ethics is not their first concern.
So, well, you've answered my last question. You've been so generous with your time, which was, what can people watching this do to help you, and especially people in Georgia, upon whose shoulders the fate of our nation rests, as it turns out. So the answer is go to gregpalace.com or send money to your investigative.
I won't. If you want to make a tax-deductible donation to the Palace Investigative Fund, I won't object. But we're really trying to get you just registered. Informed, and especially if you know any people in Georgia, and because you've been all so wonderful hanging through this extended discussion, I kept telling Naomi, I have no time. Then I keep going because I really think it's important.
So important.
It's, you can also get free a download of the comic books, The Art of the Steal, about stealing elections, which I did with Ted Rahl. It's a free download, nice color comic, 48 pages, or a free download of the audiobook or ebook of How Trump Stole 2020. And yeah, I don't think he's going to, I'm going to contradict my own title. I don't think he's going to be able to get away with it, but look out for the theft of the Senate, please. And let, let freedom ring, let the votes be counted.
Thank you so much, Greg Palast. As an American, I want to thank you. As a voter, I want to thank you. As a reader, I want to thank you. And you know, you have the thanks of, you know, as many people as I can possibly get to watch this yet again so important conversation. The legendary Greg Palast. It's gregpalast.com. Thank you so much for talking to us once again. Greg, take care, and thank you for saving our right to vote.
Well, you're very welcome, Naomi, with a lot of other good people. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.